Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. There, nothing happened over the weekend. There's nothing to talk about. We're just going to sit here in silence, right, Jake?
I think so.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Adam Carriker Show, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Come grab your lunch. Join yours truly. Also on Wednesdays, join Steve Taylor, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, 5 days a week here on the Ticket. This particular show is going to give you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process today. All right. Matt Rhule talked about, hey, in his last press conference, basically we're on track. I'm 6-6 year two. And then we make the leap in year three. Like, when I heard him say that, I was like, love the confidence. I don't know that that needs to be said, but I love the confidence. And then obviously we have insanity right now with Tony White gone and Terrence Knighton gone and yada, yada, yada. Okay. Now, it's also a part of college football. It is what it is. It's like the wild, 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 wild freaking West. So it's not just Nebraska. And up until today, we haven't had a chance to see the other side of the transfer portal, you know, where they come join the good guys. So hopefully that news starts coming in sooner rather than later. So we're going to give some transfer portal updates. By the way, two of the top 10 rated players in the transfer portal are former Huskers, but I digress. Emmett Johnson is back. Actually spoke with him last night and this morning. All right. He officially put his pads back in the locker room. Officially worked out. All right. I did interview him. Go check that out. CarrickerChronicles.com. Also on YouTube at Carriker Chronicles. Okay. Now, and he's excited to be back. So you never know who might be in the portal from Nebraska that might come back. There's a couple other things as well. So I've been asked a lot, Adam, like, do you trust Matt Rhule? Do you trust him? Do you trust Matt Rhule? We're going to discuss that here briefly in this first segment. Transfer portal updates. The second segment, I might be a little crazy to think that Nebraska's offense might be dynamic and explosive next year. Did I just say that out loud with a straight face? I did. I don't know what to make of the defense or the special teams or the offensive line, but the skill position guys seem to be something you could potentially get excited about with guys like Dylan and Ja'Cory and Emmett now back on this roster with potential transfer portal additions that may happen. Okay, don't forget about Heinrich Harburg as well. What are they going to do with him? All right, but before we dive into that, Jake, trivia question. I'm not going to ask this of the fan. It's a hard question. And I didn't know. You guys got to follow at Husker Tapes on X. I didn't know the answer to this until I saw this. So, Jake, I expect you to know this.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
When, what year was Nebraska's first bowl game, and what was that bowl game?
I believe it's the 19. Oh, man, I'm going to be close here.
You're on track so far. 19, yeah, the first two numbers. You nailed it.
1941 Gotham Bowl.
Ooh, 1962 Gotham Bowl was our first win versus Miami 36-24 up in New York. Okay, you got the first two numbers right.
I got something going on there.
Way earlier.
Okay.
And think flowers. Oh, my God, that was a huge hit.
Rose Bowl.
Yes. You got to get the year, though, on your own. No help.
All right. Oh, man. I know I've seen it before as a Husker historian, but I can't remember.
You're a Husker historian?
Well, I mean.
Well, why don't you know this?
Well, that's why I'm not like labeled a Husker historian.
Okay.
I've looked at a lot of Husker history.
I got you.
Oh, man. You said way earlier?
Yes. Not 1800s. It's 19.
1920.
Nope.
I don't know.
Too early. 1941 Rose Bowl.
1941.
And we did not win, so we won't dive too much into it. But I did not know that that was our first bowl game. Was the Rose Bowl indeed 21 years later before we got our first bowl game win? That's kind of crazy. Congratulations to Nebraska linebacker, just signed with the Huskers last Wednesday, and Omaha Westside linebacker Christian Jones for winning the National High School Football Buckus Award. All right, and here we go. And I quote, Christian Jones is a disruptive force on the football field. He displays excellent instincts, strikes with power, and makes his impact felt in all phases of the game. And quote, that is per his defensive coordinator in high school. And Matt Satil on X said, big honor for a future black shirt. Bit of a prediction there for good old Matt. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Matt, well, here's the exact quote. You know, before we dive into that, I got two other things. Okay. John Cook and the volleyball girls are having so much fun this year. He gave one particular volleyball player a little bit of a hard time, very publicly in a press conference about her serves. Did you see or hear this, Jake?
Uh-uh.
Basically said it wasn't the toughest serve ever, but that it moves a lot.
Mm.
I guess if you're John Cook, you can do things like this. So if you go on TikTok, there's a video of him trying to serve receive this young lady's serves. He does not do so well. He was supposed to try three times. They only put one on the TikTok that I saw. Maybe there was more. Maybe I missed them. I don't know. I only saw the one. It did not go so well. So it's one of those things where I instantly wondered, I was like, if Matt Rhule doesn't like what happens in an Oklahoma drill, does he then have to hop in and go against that lineman? Like, how would that go? I don't know. It's just kind of a crazy thought I had. And I love the volleyball team. It helps if you're winning. Is having so much fun this year. If you follow some of the things they're doing on social media, they've got a unique bond with John Cook. The girls on this team do. And it's easy to see. Now, I'm going to talk more national college football a little bit later on in the show, the last segment. We're going to talk about the spoiled SEC. We're going to talk about the college football playoff and a couple other things. But in the first game, the stat just astounded me. So gag me you, the first time they played Georgia this year, averaged 1.1 yards per carry. So their offensive line is up for the Joe Moore Award, which is the award for the top offensive line in the country. All right, the other offensive lines are Army, Oregon, and gag me you. The second time, Texas, I'll finally say the name. The second time Texas played Georgia, they were ready to run the ball and be more physical. How many yards per carry do you think they averaged against Georgia on Saturday? Jake, just take a guess. There's no way you'll get it right.
Four.
That was a terrible hint on purpose.
Okay.
1.1. Mm. The exact same. I couldn't believe it. But here's the crazy thing. Georgia had -2 rushing yards in the second half. In the first half. So neither team could run the ball. Halftime score was 6-3. Hard hitting, defensive battle. Some beautiful, some ugly things in here. I call that football, and I thought it was a beautiful game, mostly because, gag me, you didn't win. But here's the deal. Georgia is not a great first-half team. They're actually 4-2 this year when trailing at halftime under Kirby Smart. So that's a couple of things that I thought were fairly interesting there. I'm going to talk about this more later, so I'll keep this brief. But, you know, Kalen DeBoer, basically, we're going to evaluate how many Power 4 teams we're going to play going forward. By the way, they only play 8 conference games. And they didn't exactly play a murderer's row of non-conference slate. So one fan responded to this and said, what's Bama going to do, play Mercer twice now? I thought that was pretty funny. All right, let's dive into a little bit more Husker talk. Let's dive into a little bit more transfer portal update. So when it comes to Matt Rhule, all right, this is an individual who, I'm going to read the quote here at the press conference, and I quote, my history has been to be 6-6 in the second year and get to a bowl game, then in the third year, make a jump, end quote. Now, a little bit later on the press conference, he said, and we're going to make that jump, paraphrasing. But when he said that, I like the confidence. It is what he's done everywhere he's gone. His first year was a little bit different. So does that throw off the whole calibration of year 1 to 2 to 3? Because if you add the amount of wins he had at Temple and Baylor together in year 1, it was 3. We had 5 here. I don't know. Does this all calibrate? I don't know. But we'll see. Because to me, and I've talked about this before, and I'm kind of responding to a lot of people who've texted me when they ask me, and I'm going to do some transfer portal updates here in about 2 minutes. People have asked me, do you trust Matt Rhule? So I'm going to reiterate a couple things I've said and divulge a couple of new things. I trust him as much as any coach we've had for a very long time to leave no stone unturned, to do everything he possibly can to think outside of the box, to put ego aside, to do what he believes is best for the program, to not, I'm just going to be blunt, to not be arrogant, to not be sensitive, to not be emotional, although it's hard not to get emotions involved when you're passionate, to not get offended, although that's hard, but he's not going to let that influence him on a professional level. I trust him to do those things to the best of his ability as you can reasonably expect from any person. It's tough at Nebraska. Fans are passionate. I love it. I freaking love it. When people respond to me on social media, I'd say eight times out of 10, it's positive. Two times out of 10, maybe not so much. I don't take it personal. It's not like when X and Facebook first started and one bad tweet or post would ruin my entire day. And my wife laughed at me. She thought it was hilarious. But I digress. My point is simply this. Like, it's part of having a passionate fan base, because I'd rather have that. And I've referenced this. It's not the only time. You could watch USC, UCLA, their big rivalry game. That stadium was 33% empty. USC versus Penn State, it was 25% empty. Like, I would rather have passionate fans who are selling out, whether it's Timbuktu U or Ohio State coming into Memorial Stadium. With that comes a lot of scrutiny. And that's part of the job. And I believe Matt Rhule is as well suited as any coach we've had in a long time to deal with it. I have confidence in that. Does that equate to wins? I personally, Scott Frost at UCF, wish him nothing but the best. I know some people are like, I want him to do well. Some people are like, well, if he does well, but not here, how's that look for us? You know, it's a bit of a conflict there. I get it. Teach their own. Okay. But to me, when I look at Matt Rhule, what I believe he can do is what he's willing to do, is what a lot of coaches haven't been willing to do, is put all that stuff aside, deal with it, embrace it, and do what's best for the program. But I thought Scott Frost, in front of the microphone, hurt himself several times with things that he said. I really did. I think Rhule is phenomenal in front of the microphone.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Every once in a while, I think he does. He's great at misdirection, and I'll point that out. I could be wrong. I could be right. Jake's heard me do it here. Okay. Sometimes Jake agrees and he nods, and other times he disagrees and he still nods, but that's okay. Jake's a good dude. Nice guy. Love working with you every day, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
The two things Matt Rhule has said that I was kind of like, I don't know. Number one, when we're going into year two last summer, he said it feels like year three. I was like, I love that. I don't think it's necessary. You're shortening your own honeymoon period, which is now gone, by the way. When you say we're going to make the year three leap, that's phenomenal. I don't know that it needs to be said. Just let others talk about it. But I love his confidence. Now, will this equate to wins? Do I trust Matt Rhule to equate to some wins? I'm actually excited to see what our offense can do. I'm excited to see what we could possibly get out of the transfer portal. And defensively, we have got to get the defensive coordinator higher right. I can't speak to the defense right now. I can't. I need a defensive coordinator. I need a D-line coach. I need a lot of things. Offensively, and I'm going to talk about this in the next segment, and you can bring in the chugs of red Kool-Aid if you'd like for that particular segment, but don't worry. I also talk about the holes and what I have to say then as well. But I'm like above average excited about what our offense could be. And a large part of that has to do with Dana Holgorsen, Dylan Raiola, Emma Johnson, Ja'Cory Barney, things of that nature. We got to find someone who can block better consistently more often. And the coach has got to get it out of him. That's his job. So for me, do we trust Matt Rhule? Is anybody chiming in on the text line real quick? Because those are kind of my thoughts. I can honestly go on for a long time on this. I trust what he's going to prioritize what's best for the university and the program. I trust he's going to do whatever he thinks it takes. And there are other individuals who've been in a similar position that things got thrown out of whack due to emotions getting in the way. Okay, what are some of the thoughts we're getting here, Jake? And then we'll dive into some transfer portal updates real quick.
Oh, yeah. I'd encourage you to go ahead and text in 402-464-5685. Red165 says off YouTube, if Rule can keep the defense at the level the last 2 years it's been, Holgorsen can win a lot of these close games. So, you know, different thoughts there on moves that have been made. But, yeah, it feels like there's still a lot of faith in Rule.
So to be clear, I have a lot of faith and a lot of belief in what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. He's also learning. You can see he's learning. The Big Ten is different. Transfer portal is different than when he got here. NIL, everything. The purely developing the high school kid, it's hard. How's that going to work? You find a diamond in the rough. You find it. You develop him. He hits the portal, gets more money, he's gone. It's just hard. It's how Nebraska had success. It's how Matt Rule wants to do it. It's what Husker fans love. It's one of the things I love. It's hard to do it that way. Will what he's going to do equate to exact wins? That's where I got to wait and see. That I cannot put a definitive answer on, partially because I don't know what the hell's going on with the defense yet. But we'll get there in due time. Got to get that defensive coordinator higher right. All right, any other final thoughts on that, Jake, before I hit the transfer portal here real quick?
Brad from Baldwin said he has to be the one. You can't go through another change. But as we've seen before, that's not necessarily true. 0095 says, definitely trust the process Rule's establishing. Needs a home run hire for DC sooner than later. I will say that as far as my own personal opinion, too,
yeah,
is that he did go into the press conference and said he's hired two Broyles Award finalists for the top assistant in the nation at defensive coordinator. We're obviously impressed what he did with Tony White. And I always say you can't get mad if what you hire ends up being what you get. And he's a program builder. And so year three, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. But that's what you hired. Is It takes a few years to get there. Then year three is kind of your breakout year. That's why I always thought you couldn't be too upset with the Mike Riley results, because that's kind of what you hired.
It's not kind of what you, it's exactly what you hired. He was exactly 500 here. He was exactly 500 before he got there. I love it, Jake. Great thoughts. All right, transfer portal update. So here's a couple of thoughts on the transfer portal itself. One Big Ten general manager called it a S show. That's actually what it says. All right. The transfer portal is bringing more unknowns than ever. This will be the first full cycle in which every college football player from a graduate to a freshman can transfer within the portal windows without restriction. The transfer portal opens today. The winter transfer portal session closes December 28th. There's going to be, now many college football programs will have a $12+ million budget. Some of them have way more than that. Okay. There's a multi-billion dollar agreement between the NCAA and former players, okay? And they're working on a house settlement as well. And basically, around July 1st, revenue sharing is expected to happen. It's got to be approved, but it's expected. We know this, but the house settlement also means a change in scholarship numbers from 85 to 105 and the reduction in the roster size from 120 to 105. So 105 players all on scholarship. Okay. There were, I actually thought this number was low. 3,800 FBS players entered the last portal cycle. Now, you got to keep in mind, that's the last portal cycle, not the last calendar year. But silly me, I still thought that was kind of low. All right. As we go on here, a lot of people had comments, and it was kind of crazy on the transfer portal itself. And they were even granted being anonymous so they could be more honest. But it gets a little crazy if you get into some of those comments. But when you look at the 10 best of, I mean, it is what it is. It's insanity. We got to rein it in. At some point, there's going to be a salary cap. There needs to be contracts. And I'm telling you right now, the powers that be are want that in place, because if you don't have it, you just spend more and more and more. And it's a business. They're going to be like, no, let's cap this so we only spend a certain amount. It's coming down the road eventually, just like the AFC-NFC model. The SEC's pissed. They only got three teams in the playoff. I addressed that in the last segment. Don't worry. All right, here are the top 10 players currently. This first one's not going to thrill you, Jake. With an overall grade of 94, Prince Will Umanyilan from Nebraska, edge rusher. Wish him the best. I saw he narrowed down his list of schools to three. It was LSU, Florida State, I want to say Texas A&M. I could be wrong on the third one. All right, Hunter Zambrano, an inside offensive lineman from Illinois State. Dude's a monster. Also a grade of 94. Smaller college, so he might be overlooked by some, but this is a dude that can come in and start right away. All right, another inside offensive lineman from Arkansas, Patrick Kutas. All right, I hope I'm saying that name right, with a grade of 93. These guys are like, if you watch them on film, they're physical, they're mean, they're nasty. All right, and we're not going to get all these guys, obviously, but we need to bring in guys like this with experience who could come in and start right away. Most of the guys coming back are young for Nebraska, And if you look at what worked for other schools, just pick out the school with the cactus on the side of their helmet. It's always looked like a cactus. Does that look like a cactus to you on the side of Indiana's helmet, or is that just me?
Yeah, I could see it.
All right. Or looks like a cactus.
Type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be better had we beaten them, but I digress. The point is Indiana brought in all these smaller school guys with all this experience. Guys who were successful. They brought in the number one quarterback in the Big Ten from Ohio. And then Curtis Rourke ends up being the most efficient passer in the entire Big Ten Conference, slightly ahead of Dylan Gabriel. By the way, is Dylan going to New York for the Heisman ceremony? Do you know?
I don't know if that's official, but he should be.
He needs to be.
Yeah.
The three guys that stand out to me, and Cam Ward at Miami should be involved in this. He just got no help from anybody else. He had to Superman it like too many times this year to save that team. Well, him and the refs. But Cam Ward, Dylan Gabriel, it's not just because he's playing for Oregon. I've watched them play multiple times, and obviously Ohio State, Penn State. That dude is the perfect catalyst for that offense. He's so efficient, so decisive, so accurate. He is the perfect point guard for that Oregon offense, which is why they brought him in. Number four player, Dane Key, right? Kentucky wide receiver. Two of the top 10 players are Kentucky wide receivers in the portal. I'm just saying, if you're a Husker fan, there's been some rumors out there. Let's see what happens. This dude, when people go in the portal and the fans of that team are mad, fans of other teams should smile. When a dude goes in the portal, and Barry Brown's on this list too. I think he's number 8, former Kentucky wide receiver in the portal now. And people who write about the team use the word Kentucky star player enters portal. Fans of other teams should smile. I'm just saying. We'll see what happens. Nick Anderson, wide receiver, Oklahoma. A lot of wide receivers in this top 10. I don't know if we're going to get Nick. He'd be phenomenal. Overall grade of 93. All right. Alabama defensive lineman, Jaheim Otis. We need some guys on the defensive front. You look at our defensive front. It's been, we got guys coming back. You know, hear all sorts of rumors and innuendos. But Riley Van Poppel, Elijah Judy, Cam Lenhart. We need some additional bodies there. So this is a guy who, I don't know if you want to, if he's interested in Nebraska, but if you're interested in money and instant play time and things of that nature, because he did not play a ton at Alabama, despite being very, very talented, this could be a spot. Another wide receiver out of NC State, KC Concepcion. That's a phenomenal name, Concepcion. That's just fun to say. Micah Hudson, another wide receiver from Texas Tech. I've talked about him actually in the past. Lots of wide receivers. This is part of the reason in the next segment I get a little bit excited, because I'd be shocked if we don't land at least one, if not two, of these guys. Okay. All right, there he is, Berrien Brown, number 9. I thought he was number 8. Berrien Brown, wide receiver from Kentucky, number 9. And then James Williams. Wish him nothing but the best. Great number at Nebraska, just saying, number 90. Phenomenal number. Edge rusher out of Nebraska. So two of the top 10 players in the portal right now are former Huskers, defensive players. Jake, I'm just going to ask you, are they going to end up at Florida State?
I think that would be the favorite. I think
a lot of stutter in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, James did come in into the studio.
Oh yeah. What did he have to say?
The locker room.
Yeah. What did he say?
He said it sounded like that wasn't as much of a foregone conclusion as maybe the crystal balls have him out there.
He wants to test the waters.
Yeah.
And even if it is where he wants to go, I mean, he said Terrence Knighton's like a father figure, so it's a logical place that you think he's going to look at seriously. But even if it is, he's going to. Why in the world would he cap the interest by saying, yeah, I'm going there? Let's enter the portal. Let's see what happens. And even if Florida State is the favorite, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's see what else is out there, my friends. You know, we'll see other offers I get. So I get it. All right. Any other, before we head to break, Jake, any other last questions or anything we should address quick?
There was one question real quick, and I don't know if you have much of it on this, but 6496 says, what's the story on Phil Simpson?
Well, so people expect him to be brought in. That's the expectation, but there's been nothing definitive just yet. To me, it kind of feels like when people expected Terrence Knighton to go, but then he was still here, and then he was on the recruiting day show. that wasn't weird at all. You know, kind of like if I'm a defensive lineman sitting in that meeting, like, aren't you supposed to be gone, but you're here? Like, I'm staring at you, but you're what? It's such a weird world that we live in. The expectation is he's coming. Nothing's been finalized yet. And I mean, 90 seconds goes by and the whole world could change. So you never know. All right. So, but that is the expectation. We'll see what ultimately happens. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.